Good afternoon. It is 2 p.m. You know what we do at this time? This is Community Focus. This program is hosted by Gregory T. Roberts and myself, Melvin C. Burns II. As you can see, I'm here by myself. My friend and brother Gregory T. Has been out ill for several weeks. We continue to pray for his speedy recovery. Get well, Gregory T. This is Community Focus. How do we start this program? Well, let's start with a little weather. Today, it is partly cloudy, low of 70, high of 83. Saturday, beautiful summer Saturday, low of 63, high 76. Sunday, the beauty continues, low of 66, high of 85. Sunday, 60% chance of rain, low 69, high 79. Tuesday, another beautiful sunny day. Low of 65, high of 79. Wednesday, low 67, high of 81. And Thursday, 45% chance of rain, low 64, high of 84. So take advantage of these beautiful summer days that we have coming up. Okay, I used to call it my top five news stories, and I got this from Gregory T., but as I've said, I'm getting a little fatigued with the news, so we did have it in the news today. I'm going to give you my top four plus one. My top four plus one today, which you can call five, we have the Supreme Court coming out with four decisions today. This is not legal advice or considered to be a legal summary, but all four of these rulings were 6-3. In a 6-3 ruling, the court decided to limit the power of the lower courts to issue injunctions. Something happens in Michigan. The court says, you know what? If the lower courts will say, you know what? Let's stop this in all 50 states until we get this sorted out. So the Supreme Court is going to limit that. This was primarily related to birthright citizenship. They have not yet ruled on that issue of birthright citizenship. Second decision is on, it's from Maryland, where parents challenged their children's right to participate in elementary lessons featuring LGBTQ inclusive books. And the courts ruled in favor of those parents, violating, said that this requirement infringed upon their First Amendment religious rights. And Justice Clarence Thomas argued very much for that that decision. Number three. The U.S. Preventative Task Service Force. This ruling had to do with from Health and Human Services, members being appointed to certain task force. And there have been a number of these challenges lately, but basically in a ruling then led by Justice Kavanaugh, they said that even those these committees that have oversight over some of these agencies, it's okay for members to be removed and appointed by those same agencies. So we'll see more of that. Fourth ruling in a 6-3 decision again, we see that the ACA Act was challenged in court. This related to preventative care. And there were certain items under this act that were required to be covered without cost. This was an administrative ruling, and the courts have upheld the ability for Health and Human Services just to make those items, require those items. So again, you can read more of those in depth. I'm sure you'll hear a lot about them over the next couple of days. Oh, I said four plus one. Guess who is still in first place in the American League in Major League Baseball and tied with the best record with the Dodgers? You guessed it, the Detroit Tigers. So that's been our number one story for several weeks now, or should I say in our top five. And so the Tigers continue to roll. You know, not the biggest baseball fan, but when the Tigers are winning, it's just kind of exciting. Same with the Lions, I suppose, or the Pistons. When the local home state team starts to win, you just, even if you're a casual fan, it kind of draws you in. So yes, I am getting on the Tiger bandwagon, for those who are wondering. All right. Okay. That's our news and other stuff for the day. What do you all really come to this program for? You come to this program because of the exciting guest that we bring to the program and how they inform us so well. So we're going to do the same today. I want to make you aware that the Trinity Health Grand Rapids Comprehensive Breast Cancer Center was awarded a certification for excellence. And today we're going to talk to Dr. Bess Connors, who is the medical director. Would you join me in welcoming to the program, Dr. Bess Connors?
Hi, Connors. Melvin. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you for joining us on the program. Let's start off. Tell folks a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a breast surgeon, and when I tell people that, I always kind of specify it's not plastic surgery that I'm doing, but I really do cancer surgery. So I'm highly specialized in doing breast cancer surgery. But part of my job is really comprehensive care for women that have breast issues. We do a lot of cancer care, but we also take care of women with benign issues of the breast. And here at Trinity Health, we have a whole comprehensive breast center, right? So that's also people that just need their mammograms and they need follow-up and things like that. So because I'm an oncology surgeon, I do the surgery part where, you know, sometimes we need to remove a cancer and that kind of thing. But I work with folks that do all the other parts of breast cancer and breast care too.
Okay. So I was reading a little bit preparing for the interview, and I want you to put your humility to the side a little bit. This award, it says only 36 breast centers in the nation received the certification. This is a big deal, right?
It's a big deal. I think, you know, when we got this award, people said, well, why is it important? And this is an award where we put ourselves up against all these other institutions. And to get this award, it's not just checking a box. You don't just, you know, do things one through 10 and you get it. They actually compare you to other institutions, and you have to be performing at a really high level to be awarded this high level certification. So what it shows to me is that women and men, although we, you know, we treat more women for breast cancer, but they don't have to go far away to be able to get really world-class care. Yes. That's what we know, and we're proving that we can provide. And we, of course, appreciate when folks say, yes, you're doing an amazing job. We'll give you an award so you can kind of prove it to folks. But it's so important for people to be able to stay and get treatment in their communities and get really excellent care.
Yeah. Now, in high school, you could get on a who's who by sending your money and getting in the magazine. But this award is for patients. You know, I was reading and talked about these different categories that you have to comply or get rated in. Tell the folks out there what this means that you received this award.
Right.
In terms of their care.
You said you did good research. There are, I think there are 48 or 49 categories, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it takes a ton of teamwork to be able to get this award because everyone has to be performing at a really high level. So in a comprehensive breast center, we have people that take pictures, right? Like mammograms and read those. We have folks where if we do a biopsy and we take tissue, the pathologist has to read that. Okay. They give that information to the surgeons and the medical oncologists. We also treat people with radiation. That's radiation oncology. And then beyond that, we have more support. We have geneticists. We have nurses that help navigate through this process. And so there are all these categories where we have to submit data and say, yes, we're keeping track of all these things. We're measuring this. And when we measure it, we're proving that we are really performing at the highest level.
Yeah. One of the factors that struck me was you talked about the timeliness between when somebody might get an exam or a diagnosis or these other items that, you know, sure when people come in and have anxiety, and then, hey, what's my results? Or once they get the results, what do I do next? And so that one kind of jumped out at me. You know, we want to know everything right away. But for people to know that that's one of the measures, I thought was really significant.
Yeah, you're spot on. One of the biggest things I think we can do for our patients is try to make things expeditious, right? And have this timeliness. So these are things women really care about and people really care about. Time from when you get a mammogram that's abnormal to when you can get a biopsy. And that from that time, the time to when your treatment starts. So that might be surgery, it could be chemotherapy, but making sure that all those things are as close together as possible. One, because we think people will have better outcomes that way without delays, but two, because of that terrible anxiety that folks have, which is very understandable, right? They're dealing with something really scary, and the quicker we can work to resolve it and get treatment in action, I think that really helps people with the mental health side of it.
Let me try to ask this the correct way. So, you know, you have these measurements of how we do these things, but how much does the feedback from the patients play into how you adjust your services you provide? And secondly, how do you measure that?
Yeah, we are measuring constantly with patient surveys, and we take them very, very seriously. So we get feedback. You know, some of this is, of course, limited by how many people answer the surveys that you give them. But we do have a good response rate. And we ask people, I think, good questions. And they have the opportunity to just write back in paragraph form. But we've made a lot of changes based on any area that seems salient, right? Sometimes it's not even, I think we're doing a great job here and we don't necessarily get low marks, but if you just start to see a few people who say everything was great, but, you know, I felt a little rushed or something like that, then we say, do we need more time here? How can we make sure that this is addressed? So we're constantly listening to patient feedback. And I think we're actually really excellent at that. But you're right, that how the patient feels during this process is an important way of evaluating how we're doing.
You see the Breast Cancer Awareness Month and the football players wearing pink cleats or pink shoes. Overall, and I know we're not worship, but how do we do as a county, how do we do overall in terms of the message we've been trying to get out about getting exams and those types of things related to breast cancer?
I think we can always do better, right? I was making a few notes to myself and I thought, you know, what are important things people need to know? I know that at our breast center, and I think, you know, Trinity Health has Muskegon too, has Lakes Village. And Lakes Village is another location that won this award. Now, they don't have the full complement of services that we do, but for the diagnostic, the pictures, the mammograms, the diagnosis, biopsies, all that, they're performing at an amazing level too. So I know that at Trinity, and I assume at that Trinity location as well, you don't need your doctor to even write you a referral for a mammogram. You can call. Like people, you know, they have like, oh, I can't, it's a pain to do it. You can call yourself and just say, I need a mammogram, and they can schedule one for you. And another thing is that even folks that don't have insurance, I feel like this kind of, when you're talking about the ACA things with the courts, you know, if you do have insurance, mammograms are something that are required to be covered, which so I'm glad that that's maintained because it's super important. It's a life-saving screening. But for folks that don't have insurance, you can still get a mammogram. And there are programs. There's something called BCCC, which is a program that helps folks get mammograms and pap smears who don't have insurance. So those are free to them because once you get in the door, once you've had that, we're going to take care of everything. Like that's why we got an award, because we're going to take care of this stuff. We're going to be fast. We're going to keep you in the loop so we don't miss something. But if you never get to our door, then that's where things are, right? That's where it's going to get missed. So like, it's like you're saying, how are we doing? We need to get more people coming for mammograms and coming more regularly.
I think those are two amazing things. One, you know, you don't have to have a referral. You know, again, for people with limited income to have a doctor's appointment for five minutes to say you're referred. And then to even come there and cost not be the issue, that yeah. we'll find a way. I think those are two amazing things right there. Any uniqueness to this area of breast cancer? And I know yours is not specifically all the research, but any uniqueness we find with incidence of breast cancer or treatment in Muskegon or West Michigan area in general? I know you're in Grand Rapids, but are there any things we find unique to this area?
You know, breast cancer is so common. Mm-hmm. It 1 in 8 women get breast cancer. And so, unfortunately, it's a really common disease. And so we kind of see the full breadth of what people see everywhere. There are differences, there are racial differences in how we see breast cancer arising. Mm-hmm. So in the Black community, unfortunately, we see more of an aggressive type of breast cancer called triple negative breast cancer.
Okay.
And we also see health disparities where sometimes those folks don't seem to do as well, right? Okay. So there's work to be done there. I would not say that there's anything I'm aware of that's sort of specific to our area in terms of, you know, the types of breast cancer we see, or anything like that. But I do think that within different groups of women, we do have to be aware of different risk factors, right? Okay. So everyone has a specific risk that they have of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with your family history. It has to do with your ethnicity. Like I said, Black women more likely to get triple negative breast cancer, but also people who have Jewish heritage more likely to get some breast cancers.
Okay.
And it also has to do with other factors, like our levels of estrogen exposure when we start our menses, things like that. But some things that are easier to control: smoking, alcohol use,
mm-hmm.
Excess weight. So everyone has their own level of risk. Okay. And that's something that somebody can help you assess. If you're concerned about your level of risk, got a lot of family members with breast cancer or maybe ovarian cancer, or you know you may have some other risk factors, it's something that you can, you know, you can come to us. You can, a lot of facilities, you know, this isn't really unique, although we have a great program, but have a high risk program, right? Yeah. Where we can assess people's risk and follow them.
No, I know you mentioned genetics. It's part of the risk assessment, genetic testing.
Oftentimes it is. Yep.
Okay. And I've shared this with people. My grandmother, who lived to be 96, passed a few years back, but had breast cancer twice, double mastectomy, but she lived to 96. And so it wasn't until she got older that, you know, women in our maternal side of the family, like, make sure you're aware of this family history.
We do have to pass it down, right? We do. Yes. Sometimes people don't talk about this stuff. But you do need to know so that you can follow for your own risk.
Yeah. Is it still, you know, a little bit of that, I know it's your women, it's your breasts, it's your femininity. So, you know, when we're talking about it, it's like the worst fear. You know, when you hear people talk about cancers, that's the one that you seem that it seems has the greatest amount of fear among women, first of all. Mm.
You know, that may be true for me in my work. I mm-hmm. see so many people. One thing I enjoy about my area mm-hmm. of practice is that it's a very scary time, right? It's very scary to be diagnosed with breast cancer. But because we do screening mammograms, a lot of breast cancers are caught really early. And so I get to talk to women and kind of relieve some of those fears and tell them that, you know, like your grandma, they may have breast cancer, but they may live many, many years and they may die of something else. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really wonderful. So to me, you know, of course I've had too many years of school, but breast cancer is not the scariest one, but mm-hmm. it does have a lot. Nobody can tell if you have your kidney removed, you know, nobody can tell, mm-hmm. but when you have to have something that's sort of part of your physical body that you see and interact with, mm-hmm. It does have a different impact when we do surgery there.
Okay. Let's not go too far before we mention, if folks want more information about the center, how can they reach out to you all?
Yeah. So, you know, Trinity Health Grand Rapids, we have a great website. You can just Google search us. You know, if you, If you really want the phone number, I'll give it to you. It's 616-685-6756. Okay. If you call that number, you'll be getting to the breast center. So they can certainly refer you where you need to go, mammograms, if you've got a concern and you want to be seen in the clinic, something like that. Mm-hmm. But our whole team can be found under the Comprehensive Breast Center here. We have a couple of surgeons. We've got mm-hmm. radiologists, some physician assistants who help us see our high-risk patients and patients that we follow after they've had breast cancer in survivorship.
Okay.
So it's really a great team.
Okay. And I want to, and you mentioned it earlier, we want to mention that we talked about this excellence award, the Trinity Health Center Lakes Village received the same award. So you can expect that same quality and level of care if you're going there as well. That's important for people to know. And that's, and you can find that under Trinity Health webpage when you go there. Dr. Connors, so you're the director. You also see patients. What's your expectation for people when they come into the clinic and they've left it? What's your greatest expectation for your patients?
Well, my hope is to provide, I think of myself as a guide. I'm mm-hmm. guiding people through this experience, mm-hmm. you know, if it's cancer or something simpler, but I'm here to provide information and help people arrive at treatment options that we're all comfortable with. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of shared decision-making in breast cancer care, which means there's not always just one right answer. And I come in and say, well, this is what you have to do. Mm-hmm. We talk about options and what's safe, and we let women make choices. So it's very mm-hmm. individualized, and people have different types of cancer that need to be treated differently. So, you know, my great hope and expectation is that people leave feeling listened to and heard. They feel educated and they feel some sense of relief. And even people who are in the worst situations medically can feel that sense of relief when they know that someone is cares for them and mm-hmm. they know that there's a plan, right?
Yes.
Okay. They know that there are next steps that we're going to take and there are options for treatment and that they're not alone and all of that. So mm-hmm. I think that that's sort of a realistic expectation I have for each of my appointments and patients that I meet.
Okay. Two questions. One, it's not to be a aha gotcha question, but are there any things on the horizon with respect to breast cancer treatment that sort of is speculative or, you know, in the works, trials, something that might be mm-hmm. a significant change in how we treat breast cancer in the future?
Yeah, definitely. From the surgery perspective,
mm-hmm.
We are doing less and less surgery, and that's mm-hmm. great for women.
Yes.
The biggest area where we make that change is in the armpit, actually. So,
okay. You
know, the history of breast cancer, the first surgery that was ever developed, we would remove the whole breast and the muscles underneath and mm-hmm. all the lymph nodes.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually we said, well, this taking all the muscles, that's not helping people. Sure. And we've done more studies and I'll keep it brief, but we figured out that taking all the lymph nodes wasn't helping everybody. But some people with more advanced disease still do need that.
Awesome.
Now we have even better chemotherapy drugs, targeted drugs to certain kinds of cancers that help us eliminate the need to take out a lot of lymph nodes under the arm. And that's a huge benefit for people because that surgery can lead to some problems down the line of arm swelling called lymphedema.
Mm-hmm.
It's treatable, but it's not curable. And it really can be a problem for folks with, you know, difficulty using that arm, difficulty with your shoulder and chronic pain from it. So that's a big thing in the surgery world. In the medical oncology world, we just keep finding better ways to target breast cancer. So targeted therapies and something called immunotherapy, which has been a breakthrough for the hardest to treat breast cancers. Those are triple negative breast cancers, which, you know, historically have had poor outcomes, but the better drugs that we find to treat them, the better people are doing who are treated. So that's been a huge breakthrough too.
Okay. My next question, assuming that the the hospital is going to rain down money and staff to you. What's the direction you'd like to see the center go and some of the things you'd like to see added in the future?
I like that question.
we'll make sure you show this recording to him later.
I get it, right? I think that there's something really cool on the horizon that isn't really FDA approved for screening yet, even though there's pretty good evidence that it's cool and it's going to work well. And that is something where you get a mammogram, but with your mammogram, you get some contrast in through an IV, and it helps areas of the breast that are abnormal light up. It's called contrast enhanced mammogram.
Okay.
And that technology is just not widely available, and in part because insurance companies, they don't want to pay for it yet, really. Yeah. But right now, we have another way that we look at breasts sometimes, particularly in women who are very high risk, or maybe people who already mm-hmm. have breast cancer, which is MRI of the breast. Mm-hmm. MRI of the breast also uses contrast, and it can be very sensitive, meaning it finds a lot of stuff, and that's great. But that, you probably know, MRIs are very expensive tests. Yes. They're very expensive. Mm-hmm. They take a long time to do. And there are some folks that can't have them because they either have, they're claustrophobic, they have metal somewhere in their body, it's not compatible, things like that. So this contrast mammogram, it can do a lot of the same things because it uses contrast to light up those abnormal areas. Okay. So that's something that I'd love to see. And then, of course, I just want to see more patients. It's like I was saying at the beginning, when patients get to our door, mm-hmm. we have guides. We have these nurse navigators. We have them on our imaging side. We have them on our surgery side and medical oncology. They're like shepherds. They keep track of the patients. They make sure you don't get lost. You call them, the patients call them and say, hey, my appointment got canceled or something. They fix this stuff. They're wonderful. We can help people get through this process. We can make it easy, but we have to get them to the door first. Mm-hmm. So we have ways that we're working on that. We've got mobile mammography. We go out into the community. We find sites. Like I said, we make sure you don't need a referral. We try to get the people that we can, but I think it's always a place that we could do more.
Okay. So I do have one curveball I'm going to throw you. Yeah. You probably know this. You can go on Trinity site and you can write a review and leave a score of the doctors. Mm-hmm. Out of five stars, do you know what your score is?
I have a pretty good idea what it is.
It's a 4.9. It's like
Yeah.
And again, so I looked at that and talking to you today, the comments I saw most often were people didn't feel rushed. They felt like they took their time. You really explained things to them. They felt comfortable. They felt like they mattered. I think you couldn't have any, having been a doctor myself, those are exact things I would want as well. So I want to commend you not just for the Excellence Award, but in what your patients are saying about you. Okay. We got about 30 seconds left. I'm going to give you the last word for our listeners out there.
Well, I just want everybody, I want every woman to find out about your risk and get your mammogram. We're going to make it easy. So, you know, if you see a doctor, ask your doctor for your yearly mammogram. I'm recommending from age 40. But if you don't see a doctor, just call. We can get you in without a referral. So those are the important things.
Dr. Connors, I know you're busy. Thank you for taking the time with us, sharing some very important information. And God bless you all in your work and keep up the good work for our community.
Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. All right. Great interview, folks. That was Dr. Bess Connors of the Trinity Health Breast Center. It's good news. Good news to hear that they're doing outstanding work and being recognized for their work and their care of patients. We're going to take a brief break and we'll be back with our next guest. I want to welcome to the program my next guest, a young lady I've known for quite some time. Would you join me in welcoming to the program, Mrs. Kaylin Willer-Gooden?
Yes.
Amen. You are the youth director?
Yes.
For Pathfinders of Muskegon. Kaylin, tell people a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been working at Pathfinders for 5 years, but I have a lot of experience working with youth in Muskegon County, and I just love doing work and engaging with children through Pathfinders and other things that I'm involved with.
Great. What is Pathfinders?
So Pathfinders is a youth program, but we are community oriented. We focus on social and emotional learning, and we also just focus on engaging our youth with people that's in the community with them through after school programs, the summer program, and just community events. Recently, we had our summer kickoff, and that's a pretty big deal. We had around, I think, a little less than 400 after I tallied up everything that we had.
400 kids. So that's not kids.
Well, it wasn't just kids. It was it's a community event. So okay. We had partners there.
Was this at your location?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're located where?
2440 Glade Street.
Okay. So what took place at this kickoff?
So this is a kickoff we have every year, and it's for the youth that come to our program and who don't, and to invite their family and people that they know that are familiar in the community. So we had quite a few vendors. We had Reed Muskegon, Muskegon Family Care, Hackley Community Care. I don't want to forget anybody, but we had quite a few vendors, and we have been having DJ Young for the past like 3 years. Okay. So it was just a big thing, and it just gets the kids all hyped for the summer. And
okay. So during the school year, what kind of things does Pathfinders do? It's an after school program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what type of events take place after school during the school year?
So during the school year, we do STEM projects, we do field trips. Typically, it's a smaller environment, more like 15 kids during the school year. Mm-hmm. But we do a lot of things like family nights. We try to engage the kids with their families, and we like to be more of a family-oriented after school program. Mm-hmm. So mainly all we do is focus on out of time learning and just engaging kids with their families and with the community. And
okay. And we should probably mention the tremendous director they have at Pathfinders. Who was what's that lady's name?
Maybe? Her name is Shauna Hunter, and she's pretty active in the community. She wasn't able to be here today, so okay. Trying my best to fill in those boots.
You're doing a good job. And hello, Shauna. She's doing an excellent job. So you have the summer, the youth kickoff for the summer. What are the kind of events will you all be engaged in during the summer?
So we have some exciting things coming up this summer. So next week, we are going to have a culinary week with Idris Jenkins. So okay. He's from Muskegon Heights mm-hmm. as well. And both groups, the younger and the older group, is going to be doing it. We're going to end off the week, well, the week after next, we're going to end off the week with a field trip to the Culinary Institute downtown.
Sure.
And then some exciting things are going to be going on with William Kitchen. He's going to be doing a program with some of our boys at Pathfinders. Mm-hmm. And we're going to also have a cosmetology week. So in the summertime, we're really focused on hands-on learning. And we started off the summer with the field trip to Detroit. And we end off the summer with the big field trip as well.
Going to the Museum of Detroit, or are you going? When we're going to Detroit.
So we already did. That was the first week of the program. We went to the Henry Ford Museum.
Okay.
And I'm still trying to figure out what we're going to do at the end of the summer, but it's always something big. So last summer we did the Science Center in Detroit and the Lewis Farms for the younger mm-hmm. kids. So we try to keep it fun.
Cool. So you say it's hands-on. So like when Mr. Jenkins is there, do the kids get to make food or learn how to make certain foods?
Yes. So he's going to be focusing on hospitality and culinary. So how to set up a plate, proper etiquette. And then he's going to be doing some recipes with the older group. And the older group are preteens, so 11 and up, all the way up to age 17. But I think our oldest right now is 16. And the younger kids are going to be able to experiment and do some non-cooking activities with food.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear the etiquette thing. You know, I always tell people this story, and I mean, I knew how to use all the utensils, but we had this dinner at the president's mansion when I was in college, and they brought out a piece of food. We know what it, a couple of guys were like, we know what it was. So we just kind of waited and we saw one of the teachers grab a fork. It's okay. We said, oh, guess he's a fork. Turned to be like half a chicken, but it was fancy. And so, but you know, the whole thing about learning what's the right, you know, utensils to use at the table and what's the correct, you know, correct way to conduct yourself at a table. It's good to see kids getting that experience, you know, so they're not intimidated in any setting. So I'm glad to hear that. I know Mr. Jenkins will do a great job. So what is Mr. Kitchen going to do?
We're still trying to, we're going to be developing the program next week. Moves,
just going to turn the loose on those young people.
But he's no stranger to Pathfinder. So he's done some mentoring at Pathfinders. He's done groups before at Pathfinders. And so I just wanted him back. It was spur of the moment last week. I'm like, you know what? He does so good with the kids. I just wanted him back. So.
And so in addition to being the youth director, are you hands-on involved with some of the activities for the youth as well?
Yes, I'm always hands-on with the kids. I can't stay away, even though I have a lot of paperwork and things to do. I just love doing things with the kids and inviting people from the community and watching the kids interact with them. And I know them and they're having fun and I want to have fun with them too. So I can't stay away.
Okay. So what age group of kids do you take there?
So we start off at age 6 and we go all the way up until high school and we keep the ages, well, the groups separate. So they do different activities for the most part.
Okay. And do you know, how long has Pathfinder's program been in Muskegon?
Since 1997. So that's 27 years.
Okay. And so it's been around long enough that even the time you've been there to see kids who've been in the program and they're out, they run into you later in the community. How's that feel?
It makes me feel good because I run into some of the kids. They work different places that I go to, or some of them are in college or close to graduating college. And it's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. No. Pathfinders is a nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. Right? Again, you're located at 2440 Glade.
Yes.
Does that mean you have a board and you have to raise funds?
Yes, we do.
So let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So we usually have a fundraiser every year. Okay. Everything else is grant funded. We really operate on the support of others, the generous support of others. Mm-hmm. It would not be possible without that generous support. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that we're able to do, even the time that people have spent volunteering with our program to give our kids opportunities. Sometimes extra things aren't in the budget. So I appreciate, like I brought up William a while ago, sometimes he volunteers and does things. So I appreciate that. And another person in our community is Gemini the poet. She does things with Pathfinders and volunteers. And so we need the money support. We also like when people volunteer and bring their services.
Okay, so far of our many generous listeners out there, if they want to volunteer, who should they contact? They want to volunteer or make donations, I should say. Who should they contact?
You can contact myself. My email is kind of long. Brace yourself. It's Kaylen, Kaylen, at pathfindersofmuskegon.org. You can also make donations on our website. We have a PayPal link. The website is www.pathfindersofmuskegon.org.
Okay. Folks, we're speaking with Kaylen Wheeler Good, not to make sure I get all that in there. Not a lot, but make sure I don't just say Kaylen Wheeler. She is the youth director of Pathfinders of Muskegon. Don't know if you know this program. It's been around for over 20 years. Familiar with it. But if you're in Muskegon, it's a tremendous program, tremendous opportunities for our youth. So it's a chance to learn a little bit more. Kaylen is the youth director.
Yes.
And so I keep trying to prompt you. So what types of specific activities do you do? I mean, with the kids, music, perhaps?
I have in the past.
Trying to get out of doing those things?
No. One of the things that we have done, and that was in collaboration sometimes with other organizations, is an open mic. We at least try to incorporate one of those in there every year In the past, some years ago, before COVID, we had a community choir. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly trying to engage youth with creativity and their gifts. And outside of Pathfinders, I teach voice lessons. So if it's kids interested in music, I try to engage them with the programming and incorporate music any way I can.
Yeah. You know, I'll ask you this. What is the most challenging part of working with youth? And what's the most rewarding part of working with youth?
The most challenging part is that everybody is different. Everybody has different needs. And sometimes they are very challenging. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. And you have to get innovative. And sometimes there's not enough resources for everybody. So it gets a little draining. Mm-hmm. But the most rewarding thing is seeing kids say, I love that program. Or when I see kids that used to be in the program and they're adults now say, you guys changed my life. Somebody just told me that one of the field trips that they went on with Pathfinders some years ago was a once in a lifetime experience. And that made me feel good because sometimes at the time you don't know, because teens especially, they just, I don't know, they don't respond all the time.
You can't deal with it.
and hear those comments make me really happy.
So over the years, and you say you worked there 5 years, but I know you've been kind of involved tangentially probably longer than that. How do you adjust the program based on feedback you get from the kids? I know, like you say, sometimes you know, you can't read teens if they're enjoying or not enjoying themselves. But how often are you able to adjust the programs of what you offer based on input from the youth?
I typically do that regularly, especially with our teens. We try to build community with our all of our youth, but teenagers, they're at the age where they can express a little bit better what they like and what they don't like. And I try to incorporate learning and positive experiences with whatever their interests are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what keeps youth engaged, and it lets them know that you are listening to them and you care about their interests and what they need.
Do you get a lot of, I was talking to someone else about like school programs. Do you get a lot of siblings that are there at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just, you know, it makes sense when I was talking to somebody about school the other day, and they were just saying like almost every school, and that's why they kind of lay out the grades so they can get siblings there together. Do you have any youth that have been to the program that have come back to volunteer to help?
Yes. Actually, when we did our field trip the week before, the week before last, two of our former peer leaders or junior mentors, which is the program that we have, they came to volunteer to be chaperones, and one is in college and the other one is in college as well. So I was happy that they were able to join us.
Now, you mentioned junior mentors. Is that students who are in the program to help mentor some of the others, or these kids who are, I hate to say age, who are no longer of the age group?
These are kids that are in the program, and they are exactly what it says. They're peer leaders, so they're the same ages.
Okay.
Their peers, and they kind of help lead activities, and they volunteer with the younger kids, and they just do some character development and team building, and they meet outside of regular Pathfinders hours. So maybe once a month we have a meeting to talk about certain things, or they help. So they help build the program. When you ask, do we change the program based on the needs or the wants of the children? That group is usually very instrumental in helping us with that.
Now, I know you're not the director, but I always ask people this, you know, if let's say some generous donor out there just says, you know what, I got an open checkbook. What are some of the future desires or directions that Pathfinders would like to go? You know, if they get that unlimited check and volunteers just come out to woodworks, what are some of the future goals you all have?
To one day own a building. Mm-hmm. And to be able, the peer leaders, they work really hard, especially when they are like 16, 17. I wish that we could employ them through some type of program. We are able every year to employ like one or two, but I would like to be able to give them those opportunities to add on, to add more staff so we can have more children. Those are things that we haven't been able to implement, and solidifying and having a building is very hard to do when you're independent, small, grassroots nonprofit, mm-hmm. and that will really help us out.
Sometimes a building doesn't fit the activities you'd like to be able to do. You have to limit them to the space that you're in. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, good. Well, if somebody's listening out there and, you know, you're just thinking, where could I donate some money? Consider Pathfinders of Muskegon. It'll go to good use and go to youth who are active and engaged. Tell people again how they can reach Pathfinders, the location, and if they want to volunteer or make donations, how can they reach you all?
They can reach us. There's an inquiry button on our website at www.pathfindersofmuskegon.org. There's a link to our PayPal if you would like to make donations, if you would like to reach us on the phone. All of our flyers, it has a button that says call now, and it calls straight to Pathfinder's phone, and that's through our links on our Facebook page, which is Pathfinders of Muskegon.
Okay. And so you run programs through the summer. Do you all take a break before school starts, or just kind of?
Yes. We usually take a break, and we usually, just like we do the summer kickoff, we usually have a fall fest.
Okay.
That kicks off our fall program.
With the fall fest, what will happen?
So with the fall fest,
and I'm sure it changes every year. So
it's a lot of pumpkin cider fall games, like cornhole and mm-hmm. things like that. And we have signups for our program, and we invite all the kids that signed up in the prior year and their parents. And we just have a good time. And it's usually food and candy, and it's free.
Yeah. I know you get the kids there. If you could say something, and you have a chance now, to some of the parents who bring their kids there, what would you want them to all know about their kids coming there, or even maybe possibly donating some of their time?
We appreciate you trusting your children. When they're at Pathfinders, we treat them like they're our own. Anytime you feel the need to be engaged and see what your child is doing, we welcome you. We welcome parent chaperones, volunteers, and we're just appreciative of you bringing your children and engaging with all the community and family events, like the family nights that we have, and we hope for many more years.
I don't know. One, again, being a nonprofit trying to survive and thrive, are there some other organizations that you find yourself working with quite often?
Yes, we work a lot with, it's more of the healthcare type nonprofits, but we do a lot of work with okay. Hackley Community Care, okay. Muskegon Family Care. We've done a lot of stuff with Muskegon Public Health, but we also are coming up with some things with Reed Muskegon. We just welcome anybody who wants mm-hmm. to work with us.
Okay. Now, you're an after-school program. Do you interact with the youth schools at all, or is it just kind of like they might bring over things from their school, or do you have an interaction with the schools at all?
It's kind of different because a lot of other programs more so focus on the district they're in, and we mm-hmm. accept anyone in the county.
Okay.
And we have a limit because we're licensed in the state of Michigan as a child care center. Sometimes, like this summer, we reached our cap the first week of the program.
Okay.
So, yeah, but if we ever need to, we love working with the schools. In the past, we've worked with Muskegon Heights, okay. Timberland, and we've had students from all districts, Muskegon Public, Mona Shores, the Montessori School. Right now, we have a lot of kids from different school districts.
Okay. And so even though you're in Muskegon Heights, kids from anywhere mm-hmm. can participate, as long as you got enough space.
Yes.
Okay. And so folks, you know, if you get turned away, it's not because they don't like you.
No.
But like everybody in the world, there are some limitations.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Kaylin, again, I've enjoyed talking with you. I don't know if we should tell people our secret or not. But I've enjoyed talking with you. It's like you all have some tremendous things going on there at Pathfinders. Say hello to the director.
Yes,
I will. When you see her. What else you got going on?
like personally?
You like to tell your business, but I know you're involved with youth. Do you just work at Pathfinders? Do you work somewhere else as well?
I'm just working at Pathfinders now, and okay. I teach voice lessons through the Poppin program for okay. Muskegon Public Schools. Okay. And in another semester, I'll be graduating with my master's from Purdue Global. So I've just been working on school and hopefully I want to use my gifts after I'm done with my master's in human service leadership to do some different work in the community. I'll have some time for that.
Okay. Do you want to give Mr. Gooden a shout out?
Yeah, he's listening.
All right. I would tell people, Kaylin is not only I know a long time, she's also my cousin. And but not just that, we've had you at the church working with youth, and you work with youth when we're in McLaughlin neighborhood. And I appreciate your, actually, I think you were a youth at one time in McLaughlin neighborhood.
Yeah.
But, you know, you always say, I'm getting tired of working with kids, but it's a calling. And it's a calling. It can be tiring and frustrating, but, you know, we do it because we don't have a choice. And so I want to commend you for your heart and compassion of working with kids. You know, not everybody wants to do it, as you know. It can be challenging, but like you said, when you see those kids out and you know they're thriving, that's the reward.
Yes, it is. I'm grateful.
I want to commend you. I want to commend Pathfinders for being there. I know you've all been through some changes over the years, but you're still going strong.
Yes, we are. Thanks be to God.
We're glad to have you on. And we want our listeners, we don't just say these things, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with dropping a donation off. There's nothing wrong with five, you know, as we found $1, $5, $10. Mm-hmm. Nobody turns down donations. Mm-mm. And if you say you don't have money, you know what? Maybe you can give a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So, Kaylin, thank you again so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
This is Pathfinders of Muskegon. Look, this is our last Friday of June. So, again, I hope you all are out there enjoying your summer. As my brother Gregory T. likes to say, find a reason, make an excuse, commit yourself to going out and being a blessing to somebody. Okay, brother Gregory T., I need you to get better. To the Kids Free Trip to Africa group, I know they had a tremendous kickoff yesterday. We're praying, I think, somewhere pretty soon, if not now, they're going to be touring the Eiffel Tower, then headed to hit three different countries. So keep them in your prayers. We look forward to all of the stories and anecdotes once they return. You all be blessed. This has been Community Focus.